Good morning. Hope you had a great weekend. Lots to get to today, but we are going to begin with this pipeline. Imperial Oil shutting down this gas, diesel, and jet fuel pipeline from Gretna to Winnipeg. The province, as you just heard Wab Kanu in the news, has activated its incident command structure. 3 months this pipeline could be down for repairs. And so gas and diesel and jet fuel will have to get to Winnipeg in other ways, by truck and by train, for example. We'll talk to the Trucking Association in just a second, but we begin with Winnipeg Mayor Scott Gillingham. Mr. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning, Hal.
Thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it. So what has the province told you? What impact might you think this will have on Winnipeggers?
Well, we're in regular conversation with the province, both my office is speaking to the Premier's office regularly, and of course our respective administrations are working together so the province is really taking the lead on this. You heard the Premier talk about the steps that he has already taken and his government's taken to make sure that fuel can get to Winnipeg through other means.
What about city trucks and city vehicles, things like that? Do you already have your own supply of gas, a larger supply, or will this impact city vehicles too?
Well, we do have our own fuel inventory, and we have a fuel management plan that's in place for situations like this. So we're going to be looking to make sure that we're prioritizing the fuel so that our emergency services, fire, paramedic, police, and transit, we'll make sure that they take priority when it comes to serving the residents of Winnipeg so that those services are not interrupted. And so I want to commend our public service, especially our Office of Emergency Management. They moved quickly on the situation. They were already meeting yesterday to talk about how this could maybe impact the city of Winnipeg and making sure that they put measures in place so we have a stable fuel supply.
Mm-hmm. We're already hearing from listeners that some gas stations are limiting the amount of gas you can put in your vehicle. Any concerns for the citizens of Winnipeg, potentially a run on gas or a shortage at some point? Any worries like that, or is the province pretty much assured you that won't happen?
Well, I think customers sometimes inevitably react in the way that you're describing, but the province of Manitoba, they're doing all they can to make sure that fuel can get to the city of Winnipeg through other means, like you mentioned at the outset, through rail or through truck or through some other, means of transportation so that Winnipeggers can have the fuel they need. We don't know ultimately, at this point, how long this will go on. And that's why at the city of Winnipeg, we're taking steps immediately internally to make sure that we will have fuel for our priority services, like our emergency services and transit.
And Mayor, while I've got you, if I can, we're going to talk later on about more fires on Main Street. I'm especially concerned about Main Street, but I think the number from the head of the Firefighters Union was almost 500 fires just since the start of the year. Can we do better, and how can we do better on this file?
Well, I share the concern as well. That's just too many fires, and even if it's fires, it's sometimes with vacant buildings. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it is fires where, people physically can be affected. So it's always concerning, whether it's residents or customers in a business or property owners or our firefighters. Every time our firefighters show up to fight a fire, they put themselves in danger. So, yes, it's concerning. I know our chief is talking about strengthening our investigations as well around these fires. And one of the things that we've been working on, Hal, and I appreciate you've mentioned this many times, is the vacant and derelict buildings. Often those are sites of fires, and we're trying to do more to make sure that we reduce the number of vacant and derelict buildings so that we can reduce the number of fires that can occur at those places.
Mm-hmm. And Scott, this is my first chance to tell you phone to phone that I think your decision on Portage and Main was the right one. But I have a quick question for you. And politics is an interesting game, and it's, you have to be, I don't care who you are, what level of politics you are, you have to be concerned about how people are going to take something and whether it will be popular or not. When you gave thought to the decision to, and I'm excited about the opportunities at Portage and Main, I'm really anxious to see what that corner can become. But at any point, did you really go, boy, but you know what? Voters in Winnipeg voted in a plebiscite. Yes, we've got new information, but they voted in a plebiscite, not binding, but it's a plebiscite, and they said they didn't want to do this at Portage and Main. Did you lose sleep over that at all?
I thought about it very, very carefully. Absolutely, Hal. I mean, all of those factors go into the decision-making that I make personally, the plebiscite, for sure, and the impact on property owners potentially at the corners, that went into it as well. But at the end of the day, when you really looked at it, I think Winnipeggers are practical people. And the practical alternative, I think, given that it would be $73 million to replace that membrane and associated costs, we'd have to do it again in 30 to 40 years, and there'd be up to 5 years of traffic interruption at the intersection. To me, that came down to the practical decision in light of this new information is to open the intersection to pedestrian traffic.
Yeah, and I agree. And as I said, I am really excited to see what we do with that corner. I hope that, you know, us Winnipeggers can be a conservative bunch at times, you know, and not want to go big. But I really hope we go big for the residents in the area, in the entire city, and for people that would visit our city, I think, just to see that iconic corner.
Hal, the way you've articulated, I've heard you a couple times. I think you've captured it. I really do, and I think that most Winnipeggers kind of have the sense that you have and that I have as well. This is a difficult decision, but it is an iconic corner. This year, we're celebrating our 150th anniversary as a city. You know, for 105 of those years, that intersection has been open to pedestrian traffic. No doubt, it is our iconic corner. There's so much history has been tied to that corner. But as I've said many times, and at the risk of, you know, repeating myself too often, there are 10,000 intersections at which pedestrians cross across the city. At the end of the day, you know, this is just an intersection. And so I think when we see it in that light and then its potential, I think really good things can come.
Well, good luck with it. Thanks for your time this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Hal.
Winnipeg Mayor Scott Gillingham.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.